Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
And we are going to continue now talking about the automotive sector and a report out showing that 111,697 new passenger vehicles were sold in the third quarter of this year. That's an increase of 23.4% year on year. It's the highest quarterly total since 2014. We've had a slew of good, positive economic data coming through, and it's good to see that the motor vehicle sector is actually also looking good. I don't know if you remember, this used to be a key stat that we looked at in terms of how the economy was doing, and it was a clear indication that when the automotive sector was doing well, that the economy was growing as well. So let's unpack some of this and look at the trends and see who's buying the vehicles and what type of vehicles are being sold the most. My guest this evening is Aisha Hatia, Director of Research and Consulting at TransUnion. A very good evening to you, Aisha. Thanks for your time.
Hi, Sumitra, and good evening to your listeners as well. I'm glad to be here this evening.
So this is quite a big jump, 23.4% year on year. What and you know, when we look at the report, I see that, you know, there's top five brands that are being sold, and most of them are Chinese. I think three, looking at this list, yes, three are Chinese brands. Is it because they are coming in at a more affordable rate?
Yes, so they definitely are coming at a more affordable rate. They're coming with more features, you know, built in up front. So we can see, you know, in terms of the features that they offer, the style and the design. And there's also some good tech and at prices that beat most of the traditional brands. So their growth at the moment is sitting at a massive 9 times faster than the rest of the market. And their total share has grown more than 15%, which is a big shift from only a few years ago. So there is demand for it. You know, in terms of the price point, it's quite attractive to consumers as well. So we are seeing that strong growth. And to your point, if you look at the top 10 lists of vehicle sales, they are sort of getting into that list and growing. You know, we compare them to the general OEMs that do show strong growth. I mean, we still see Toyota and Ford in that top 10 as well. So, but we can see them in terms of the specific growth rate, they are showing higher growth rates than the traditional sort of market that we come to know.
Mm. What are the other factors that's driving this kind of momentum?
So if you think about it, you know, we almost say the market finally caught a break. Mm. You know, the interest rates have come down, the rand has strengthened a bit, and people do feel a little bit more stable when it comes to their finances. Like I said, we did have multiple interest rate cuts. If you think about all the interest rate cuts, if you had an average of a 400,000 rand car, that's already almost over 300 rand. If you had a home as well, you've also saved there as well. So there is slight adjustments that consumers were able to make to their disposable income that actually, you know, encouraged them to purchase the vehicles. If you think about the demand in terms of where our consumers at, we've also seen more and more shifts to back to office, you know, away from hybrid working or work from home. And that's also increased the demand for vehicles, because people now, where they were working from home and they could sacrifice on this purchase or hold back on this purchase, they're getting back into the market.
It's interesting when you talk about the hybrid models as well. I see a lot of, in this report, a lot of young people are also driving this momentum, and they're looking at the hybrids and the fully electric vehicles.
Yeah, it's quite interesting, you know, in terms of that consciousness, that green energy consciousness, and it's coming through with our Gen Zs and our younger millennials. We do a consumer pulse survey on a quarterly basis where we actually ask consumers, if you do think of buying a vehicle, you know, in the next 6 to 12 months, what type of vehicle? And we are seeing that skew towards these younger consumers that are conscious about about the environment as well. And they're considering not just the upfront cost of the vehicle, but the total cost of ownership as well, because there are certain savings that come around, you know, with petrol savings as an example, that they're thinking about, which is awesome that they're conscious about it.
Do you find that younger people are more amenable to taking these kind of risks? Because it used to be, and I think it still is, a concern for a lot of buyers in the market wanting an electric vehicle, that there isn't enough infrastructure for it. So if I'm going to take a trip down to Durban or to the Free State, am I going to get stuck halfway? Am I going to be able to find a station to charge up? You know, I do want to go green, but this is a problem for me.
No, definitely. I think that's definitely a consideration. And as much as we're saying that there's intent, the actual sales don't necessarily grow as fast as, as we're seeing in the intent. And that is probably a factor for that lower sales that we're seeing. And I think if you think about a lot of the brands that introduced these vehicles, they are making those commitments. They are making the commitments to build the infrastructure and to support the charging stations across the longer routes within the city. So we're seeing that shift as well. So I think more and more as it becomes visible, we will start seeing that translation of intent into actual purchases.
When you look at the younger generation as well, they're looking for more technology. I mean, it talks about the data that's present inside of these vehicles. So is that driving that kind of intent as well? They're looking for new gadgets, so to say, or to have everything in the vehicle, because everybody else has it. Why can't we have it too?
No, 100%. You know, if you think about some of these great features that's in the new vehicles, it does make it quite cool. You know, it's very stylish. It has good tech. We also talk about, you know, the connectivity of the cars in terms of navigation, remote access, and that's a great safety feature, especially for us in South Africans and even us females in our vehicles as well. We're looking for that extra safety features. We're looking for that assurance and comfort that when we drive in our vehicle, we are safe and we have the facilities and the capabilities and the features in the car that actually improve our safety as well.
Aisha, we spoke about affordability and, you know, getting finance for these vehicles because they're still very pricey. And especially if you're looking at the hybrids and the electric vehicles, you're looking in the ranges of, you know, like 600,000-700,000 rand for an entry level vehicle in that space. How easy is it these days for them, for anyone for that matter, to get finance? Because this was strictly, this became quite strict with the affordability assessments and under the Consumer Protection Act as well. Are people able to get the finance that they need for these vehicles?
It's not a black and white answer. There's a lot of factors that obviously play into whether you get approved for finance. And one is definitely your credit score. So it's important to keep track of your credit score. TransUnion does offer it on our website where you are able to access your credit score. But your affordability is mostly income-based. And I think that's where, you know, the used car market still plays quite a big role within this economy. If you think about your average salary, and it's obviously very skewed, but our average salary according to Pay Inc. is sitting at about 18,000. If you were earning 18,000, you never took a balloon payment and you took like your standard interest rates and all of that stuff, you're probably only going to be able to afford a car under 200,000 rand, which is nowhere near that mark. And it's important to understand that, you know, that's not the only cost. You still need to think about petrol. You still need to think about your tires and your maintenance and all of those things. So when it comes to actual affordability, we trust the assessments done and we trust that it will be aligned to what you can actually afford. And you need to be able to budget for that and consider all the additional costs, including insurance as well. And that's why there's still a quite strong market for secondhand cars to come in. There's also various ways to structure your deal, you know, in terms of having a balloon payment, extending the loan term to help with your monthly affordability. So affordability is not a one size fits all. It's really depending on you and your budget and how you want to plan for it. There's pros and cons to both, you know, the short-term additional costs or even longer-term costs that might impact your wallet, and it's what you're willing to trade at sort of at that point of purchase.
Yep, I think it needs good calculations and a bit of research before you get into it. But quite a few dealerships are offering good incentives as well when it comes to new vehicle sales. Aisha, thank you so much for chatting to me this evening, and thanks for all your insights on this report. Aisha Hatia, Director of Research and Consulting at TransUnion, talking to me there.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.